Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. Good chaydash, gentlemen. And any ladies that may be listening.
Remember your bracha achrona. Zachrena l'tova.
Ah. Okay. Okay. So we are going to be hopefully finishing today this discussion which we've been having since before Pesach about what's known as hefsek. An interruption in a meal, when you have a shinoi makom, you change your location in the middle of a meal, does that constitute a constitution of a hefsek, an interruption in the meal, thereby requiring you to make a new bracha when you go to a place, and possibly even make an after bracha on the stuff that you already ate. So it's Simon Kuf Ayin Ches. So just very briefly to recap the Gemara, we saw the Gemara brought a machlokas about when you have a shinoi makom, you change your location, are you required to make a new bracha? And we saw there was a machlokas. According to Rav Chisda, he says the only time you're going to have to make a new bracha is when you're eating things which do not require the after bracha to be made in their place. Then you have no kvias. I'm not in the middle of a meal. You go back, there was nothing holding you down. However, if you're eating Devarim Hatu'un Ebrach Lacharim B'mkoimon, you were eating things which require you to say after bracha there, then there's something tying me down. I can just come straight back to the meal, and I'm in the middle of the meal, so I don't need a new bracha. And so Rav Shesha says that you always need to make a new bracha. Whatever you're changing, whatever you're eating, doesn't matter, you always need to make a new bracha. Okay, then the Gemara wanted to bring a proof either way, and one of the cases the Gemara brought of to bring a proof was the case of sorry. Here you are, Professor.
It's upside down. I printed it upside down.
Mr. Steinberg, we have very high expectations of you, yeah, from your yeshiva days of youth, of your... Okay, the case that the Gemara brought was a case where you got a bunch of people and they're sitting around for a meal, and they uprooted themselves to go and visit, to go and run to a chasen and kala, to go and be mesameach, a chasen and kala, a bride and groom, kuf ein ches. Okay, you're right there. Perfect.
Yeah,
uprooting implies that they must have been drinking something chashuv, something which is a kvius, which is fixed, which is wine. And we see that the halacha which is brought there is if they left people behind at the meal, then they're okay. They're allowed to carry on the meal. However, if they did not leave someone, implication implying that if they did not leave someone behind, then they still would be required to make a new bracha. Okay, which is like Rav Sheshas. Okay, and then we said, no, that's the only opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but the Rabbanan don't hold like that. Okay, and then we brought different proofs either way. But either way, we did see that it came out that it was a machlokas in the Rishonim. We saw that the Rif, Paskins like Rav Sheshas, the Rif says that you always need to make a new bracha, and we saw that was also the opinion of the Rambam. And the Rosh, on the other hand, Paskins like Rav Chisda, that you don't need to make a new bracha if you're eating the things which are fixed. Okay? Now again, as we mentioned last week, what happens when you have the Rif and the Rambam saying one thing, and the Rosh, on the other hand, saying the other? These are the three major pillars of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Beis Yosef. And he paskins based on the majority between them. Therefore, see, as you have the majority, the Rif and the Rambam, paskin like Rav Sheshas, and the minority paskin like Rav Chisda, we saw that the halacha is therefore going to be like the Rif and the Rambam. That we're going to paskin like Rav Sheshas. And that is exactly what we saw last week. If you open up your books to Kuf Ayin Ches 178, we will see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. He says, "Haya oicha b'vayis zem." We'll just run over this quickly again. If you were eating in this house, upasak sudasi, and then you interrupted your meal, v'holach l'vayis acher, and you went to another house, oish haya oicha b'karayu chaveira l'daber emay, v'yotzalei l'pesach b'yisei v'chazav. Or you're in the middle of meeting and someone came in the middle of eating and someone called you to the door and you went outside and then you came straight back. Hoyel Vashina Makoimai, seeing as you change your location, Sarich Lavarich Lemafreya Al Masha Achal, Bokhaiza Mvarich Lachatchila Hamoitzi. You need to make a bracha retroactively on what you ate, and then make a new bracha of Hamoitzi. And then conclude your meal. Now again, this is hamaitzi, right? Hamaitzi is something which is ton brach lacharav b'mkoyma. You have to make the brach in its place. We say absolutely no kvias. You're not fixing this meal. The meal does not continue. This constitutes a what's called a hefsik. And we pointed out last week, I actually confused it the wrong way around last week, but we pointed out that these halachas, right, the 178, Kuf Ayin Ches, and Kuf Ayin Tes, 179, are very similar. Yeah, and Kuf Ayin Tes, they're called things which are called Hesech Hadas. Hesech Hadas means your mind wandered from what you were doing, from your meal. These things are called hefsek. Hefsek is something which is very different to hesek hadas. This is very important to note. Yeah, this is not things which are considered hesek hadas. What's hesek hadas? Hesek hadas is, I was in the middle of a meal. Oh, now I completely forgot I was in the middle of a meal. When you have hesek hadas, what do you have to do? What does hesek hadas mean? Hesek hadas means that I forgot that I was continuing with my meal. Therefore, when you carry on eating, you got to make a new bracha. Hesek hadas. You forgot you were eating. You can't, you know, you...
Are you fell asleep in the middle of the meal?
Not necessarily. I'm using the wrong word, really. Not that you forgot that you were eating. Let's say you stopped your meal. You finish your meal. Yeah, the first example in Kuf Ayin Tes in 179 is that after you say Havlon and Nevarich, you say Rabbeisai Mevelim Benchen. Yeah, you say Havlon and Nevarich. Then what does that do? That is a Hesek Hadas. That means I have finished this meal. I finished this meal. Okay? The halacha of finishing your meal is that if after you said Havlon and Avarich, you decided, ooh, that chocolate pie looks delicious. I'd love a piece of chocolate pie.
You already decided that
you finished your. You have to make a new bracha.
The finish means you said bracha or finish on the.
You did even without saying the bracha, but you've removed your mind from carrying on, continuing your meal from eating. Okay, it sounds very similar. Does it sound very similar? Sounds very similar to what we're talking about. It's either hesek hadas, you removed your mind from eating, or hefsek, an interruption you're eating. The nafka minna, the difference is, hesek hadas is only going to stop you from continuing. Before you continue, you have to make a new bracha on what you're eating. But it's not going to require you to make a bracha achrona. Okay? Because this is, I'm at the end of my meal. At some point, I'm going to be benching. Yeah, but you didn't say zehu. I'm absolutely finished. I had in mind I'm not going to eat anything else. But I didn't have in mind that this is a complete absolute interruption between this meal and that meal that is going to require me before I carry on eating. I got to make a bracha achrona. Now remember, according to the Shulchan Aruch, why do we say at all, according to the Gemara, why do we say at all that you have to make a bracha lemafreya retroactively before you carry on eating? Why do we say that? So simply because if you have your first meal, then you have an interruption. An absolute, complete interruption. Shinei makim, you change your location, you had a complete interruption. Now you carried on with the second meal. Now, of course, you've got to make a new bracha. In Shulchan Aruch's world, yeah, in the world of Rav Sheshes, you have to make a new bracha. Now, you're going to finish your second meal. We'll call it a second meal. You had an interruption. So this is now a second meal. You finish your second meal and you bench. What does that benching work for? It's only going to work on one. If you have a hefsek, you have an interruption, whatever I do after that is now something new. It's now a tsuda achrita. It's a completely different meal. It's a different meal. My benching that I do for a second meal can't count for the original meal. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to, the Gemara says, based on the Gemara, that you have to mevarich lemafreya al masha achal. First, you have to say the after bracha on what you already ate. Then you can continue. Because your after bracha after the second meal is not going to count for the first meal.
Can you make...
But yet, you have Yontif following Shabbos. You have to have a third meal. And there's a certain...
1 second, why Yontif following Shabbos?
Because you're going to have the meal for Yontif. Because sometimes...
Okay. Meaning you're having, on Shabbos, you're going to have Shabbos lunch, then you're going to have Shalosh Shudos, and then you're going to have the Yontif meal at night.
Right.
Okay.
So sometimes what they do, is they have
Paris Map of Makadesh.
Well, you take it, you bench, you walk around the block, and you have another meal.
Okay.
What is the relation?
What did you do there? I mean, there you absolutely bench. There, that's a complete. Ein lecha hefsek gadol mizu. There's no greater hefsek interruption than if you actually bench. Yeah, actually bench, and of course that's a complete interruption.
And you even walk
you
around
benched
the block.
And you covered your bases.
But and you walk around the block. That's a shinui makum. That's a hefsek.
Victor and Victoria.
That's the same
the
thing.
Just,
oh, nice.
Sure, you know. We had them for Shabbos.
Well, you'll have to have us for Shabbos next time. I'm still waiting for my tour of the Eruv.
Absolutely.
Ask the rabbi as well. Yeah.
Okay, so I have meal with bread.
Yeah.
Let's see what the halacha is. And then I get uprooted and I go to Richard's house. I didn't bench, by the way. I got uprooted. And then I go over to Richard's. Okay, and he's got a nice meal there too. Okay, I can't make bracha achrona. I can't do the benching on the first meal. I'm not there. I have to do that there. What do I do in the second place? I can't.
Good. So there, you have to go back to your place.
Can I stay at Richard's and eat, or
you have to
come back again?
So, in the world of the Shulchan Aruch. Remember, this is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, who paskins like Rav Sheshes, who says you can't continue your meal. Yeah, when you went from one plate, one location to another location, the meal doesn't continue. You have to start again. So you have to make a bracha lemafreya. You have to make a retroactive bracha on what you already ate, and then you can continue your meal.
I can't make a retroactive bracha.
Because you are not in the original place.
Yeah.
So lechatchila, what you got to do is you got to come back and make a bracha.
If it's
completely impractical, I believe that bidyeved post facto, even though the bread is one of the things which the after bracha is required to be said in the place that you ate it, but bidyeved, I believe that you are allowed to say it not in that location, in a bidyeved situation. You're allowed to say it not in that location. So you would say an after bracha, you'd bench, and then you'd wash again. Okay, again, this is Shulchan Aruch. Okay, right. Please remember that this is Shulchan Aruch. Okay, in the Shulchan Aruch world, that he paskins like Rav Sheshes, your meal is interrupted. Before you carry on, not only are we going to say you've got to make a new hamotzi, because you can't continue, you're not in the same meal, but you have to bench first, because whatever benching I'm going to be doing next isn't going to count for the first benching. It's not going to count. Bidyeved is not going to count. What's going to happen? I lost benching. You lose out. As soon as you wash, as soon as you make hamotzi, your next hamotzi, you completely lost out. You just lost out on your benching, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So we've got two halachas over here. One is the halacha of the before bracha. Yeah, and that is something to do with kavias. Am I in the middle of a meal, or am I not in the middle of a meal? According to Rav Sheshes, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're not in the middle of a meal. Doesn't matter what you ate, you're not in the middle of a meal. You've always got to make a new bracha before you start eating. But there's another halacha, which is the halacha of what we call hefsek. And the halacha of, right, that halacha of a new bracha, that's hesech adas. That's the same as hesech adas. That's the same as just, you know, you had in mind to stop your meal. So one way of hesech adas is changing your location. That's also going to remove your mind from this thing. But there's another halacha on top of that, which is the halacha of hefsek. Now this is considered an interruption. And an interruption that's going to split your meal into two. As soon as you start the next meal, you've lost out on the bracha achreina, on the benching from the previous meal. So therefore, before you make your hamaitzi, you have to make sure to bench, and then you can continue with your next meal. No. This is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay?
But the last case is not related to go to outside to another room.
This is going outside of the house. So far, we've been speaking about going outside of the house.
But this is what is hefsek, but interruption.
This is called a hefsek.
It is the same thing, you stop, and go outside or not?
It's the same if you're just popping outside or you're going to a different house. It's all the same.
But this is the same thing. But what's the difference?
But we
they're the same. They're the same.
But we agree with Reb Sheshes that if you go outside...
We're going to see. We pass kind of like Rav Chisda, but this Shulchan Aruch so far, I mean, at this point, we've seen
we
the Shulchan Aruch.
Now,
we haven't gotten there yet. Okay, now, there's one other point which the Shulchan Aruch brings up later, he doesn't explicitly mention anything about this, but it's certainly very strongly implied, and the Ramah makes this implication and explicitly speaks it out in the Shulchan Aruch, which is that if you turn over to the next page, where are you? No, here. Yeah. Here. However, okay, Aval, this is on, it's in Sif Aleph still, it's in Sif Aleph, Aval, right. Yeah, top of Pei Aleph, okay, Aval.
And that gimel is pointing to
where? Aval, so,
there's a gimel over.
Don't worry about the gimel. Okay. Aval, however, if you spoke to this friend who called you, you know, who interrupted your meal, well, who interrupted your meal and called you to him, said, I want to have a quick schmooze with you, stop eating for a moment, but you did it inside the house, even though you change your place from mipina lapina, from one corner to another corner, you don't need to make a new bracha. Now, 1 second. What about from room to room? Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything about that. Shulchan Aruch first said that if you go outside, that's bad. If you go inside, from room, from corner to corner, that's okay. The diuk, or the inference from the first part, is that outside is a problem, but room to room is okay. Mm-hmm. The inference from the second part is, well, from corner to corner is okay, but room to room is bad. Yeah, so we've got this quasi in the middle stage where we've got cheder lecheder, from room to room, which, according to the first part of the Shulchan Aruch, implies that it's okay. According to the second part, implies that it's bad. So is it good or is it bad? And this, by the way, this is, remember, if we had the discussion, Rav Chisda introduced this concept of mokim lemokim, bias lebias, house to house, or place to place, which we weren't sure exactly what Rav Sheshes, whether he was arguing on this or not. But we have this in-between stage. What's the halacha of this in-between stage then? Is it okay or is it not okay? Mm-hmm. Shulchan Aruch says, implies on the one hand that it is okay, on the other hand that it isn't okay. So it's like, yeah, we're completely at a loss. What is it? So see the Ramah, Hagar, gloss. You have over here, gloss.
Gloss is glossary or what's gloss?
Gloss is the Ramah. There's an edit, like addition. That's the Ramah. This is when the Ramah.
But this is
This is shortly, what is, is there a word gloss or glossary?
I don't know what the word gloss means. No, not glossary, not glossary.
It's a no glossary.
It's a gloss, it's a, it's, he glossed it. Edition, I don't know, haggah, it means haggah. It's a translation of the word haggah, so just haggah. Mm-hmm. It means the Rama. The Rama adds, Im hoya daito lechol b'makim acher, loy mikri shinamakim. If you had in mind to eat in a different location, that's not called a shinamakim. Vahu, as long as sheyiyu shnei mekaymus b'bayis echad, as long as the two places were inside one house. What's the Rama talking about? The Rama is talking about cheder lecheder, from one room to another room. One, this in between stage where the Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything explicitly, the Rama is speaking this out. What is the halacha of cheder lecheder, one room to another room? According to Shulchan Aruch, bad. It's bad. You need to make a new bracha. Unless, but says the Rama, there is a way of redeeming yourself from cheder lecheder. What is that? Das. If you had in mind at the beginning of your meal that I'm going to continue my meal in a different room in this house, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that's fine. That's okay. If you did not have in mind, then room to room is just as bad as inside the house to outside the house.
Okay, the telephone just rang.
You go from the telephone rang, you did not have in mind that if the telephone rings, I'm going to be moving to another room. Then, according to Shulchan Aruch, bad. You've got to make a new bracha. Mm-hmm. You change your location, you change your place. This is exactly the case of the Gemara, that your friend called you, yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessary on the phone, but your friend called you to speak to him, so he rang you to speak to him in another location. So if it was outside the house, that objectively, that's bad. If it was one corner to another corner, that objectively is fine. Mm-hmm. If it was from room to room, that's the gray area where the Shulchan Aruch says it's going to depend on Das. If you had in mind that I was going to move from one place to another place, then you're okay. If not, then you're bad, according to Shulchan Aruch. So we've got 3 points of the Shulchan Aruch. These are 3 points of the Shulchan Aruch so far. Yeah, the fourth point of the Shulchan Aruch is that all of this, it doesn't matter what you're eating. Doesn't matter what you're eating. He doesn't have anything, and no difference between what you're eating at all. Okay? Whatever you're eating, it's all subject to these halachas. This is a Shulchan Aruch, okay? Clear. Is it clear? I think it's very clear.
What if you have sort of a generalized, you know, instead of saying, after 10 minutes, I'm going to move into the other room. Instead of being specifically like that,
Stamdas lechayr will be fine. We say
going to be calling me.
Yeah. That's probably fine. We say such a thing. We say a concept called stamdas when it's about brachas. Yeah, when you make a bracha on hadama, on some mashed potatoes. You've got now. What happens if someone brings you some beans afterwards? You didn't have in mind the beans.
Well, it depends if you left open.
The halacha is that when the beans come along, you have to make a bracha on the beans. Because you didn't have in mind the beans. It may be the same bracha, but you didn't have it in mind. So you can't, specifically, if it was brought to you while you're still eating, it might be okay. But if you finish your mashed potatoes, then afterwards someone comes along and brings you some pineapple. Okay. Dessert. Pineapple for dessert. Okay. There, you say the bracha is, you have to make a new bracha. Because you didn't have it in mind.
How about more mashed
potatoes? That's what we say, sorry.
How about
more mashed potatoes? More mashed potatoes. More mashed potatoes will be fine unless you had hesach hadas. Meaning you did something which would connote, I've finished, maybe you put your plate, away. I don't know if that would be.
So
now, the halacha is, though, that if you had what's called stam das, generally in your mind, you had in mind that whatever they bring me, I'm happy, I'm eating, And this, we say specifically, is when you are not the balabais. Yeah, when you're not, if you're the balabais, there's no stam das, because you know what's coming, But if you're not the balabais, then your das, you're going to be soimich, you're going to rely, your das, your mind is going to be on whatever the balabais brings. So whatever the balabais brings, I'm going to be eating it. They said this is a general rule in yeshiva. In yeshiva, there's a general assumption, a very strong presumption that a yeshiva bacha will eat anything, whatever they bring him. You know, when you make a bracha at the beginning of the meal, even if there's no, you got no, you know, don't know what they bring, but whatever they're going to bring me, I'm going to be eating. Yeah, I'm relying on the yeshiva dining, you know, yeshiva canteen. Whatever they bring me, I'm gonna be eating. So when you make a bracha on something at the beginning of the meal, even if you had no idea what's coming next, you can still eat that because the chazaka is you'll eat whatever they bring.
Is there any distinction, like specifically something like Adama? Even if you had the idea that you're going to have more stuff, you make your Hadama on potatoes, let's say. And then there's a Hadama that is like clearly a dessert, like strawberries or pineapples.
So that's
not really.
So L'chaira, I think this sort of Stam Das would work with that. If you did not have Stam Das, then that's where we have the question if it's dessert. If it's something, they bring a distinction in halacha, and I don't remember exactly in what context they bring the distinction. Whether you had Das or not Das, I don't remember. But they bring a distinction about something which falls into the same category of food. And something which is a completely different category of food. Right. So a main course and a dessert would be a different category.
Same with Sheikol, like you have a steak and then
A drink or an ice cream or something. Yeah. So that they.
Oh, it's good, Richard.
Okay,
but they're not
sorbet. Sorbet. Steak
and then ice cream. He's putting one over on you.
Steak and then sorbet.
Oh, power. I mean, I assume it was power of ice cream. That's a shayla.
Yes,
Arkady.
Yeah, but talk all the time about the situation with problem with house to house.
Okay, one second. So let's bring back to...
Now we talk about room and room. And the same rules as house to house?
If you did not have das, it's the same as house to house.
Das means...
You didn't have in mind that I'm continuing to eat. Practice. Now, one second. Let me show you this. Let me show you how this das works. How does this das work? Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you left people there, zakein achayla, you left the elderly or the infirm behind, then you can continue.
Why does that make a difference? I mean, what does it make a difference if they're elderly?
Because
infirm?
You're das. You're coming back to these people.
Yeah, but
no soldier left behind. Yeah, I'm coming back to mine.
No, but what if you have someone else who's able-bodied, so to speak? Does that make a difference?
If somebody else.
Yeah. That would be the same. But this is just an example. Example. Why are they not going to go and greet the Chasan and Kala elderly?
You start eating today. You start eating cake in the kitchen. Now we bring cake here.
According to Shulchan Aruch, if I would not have in mind that I'm continuing to eat it in here, then I would need to make an after bracha on what I have right there and a new bracha here.
But
seeing as I was planning on giving the shir, when I made the bracha in there, I was planning on continuing in here, and I had that in mind, I would not need to make a new bracha. That's the Shulchan Aruch, okay? Again, 3 points. One is the before bracha. He has no distinction of what you're eating. There's a kvias. I'm in the middle of a meal, whatever I am not in the middle of a meal. There is nothing which is going to fix me into a meal unless that I leave people behind. Yeah, that's bringing me back. Okay, then we have the second point, which is whenever you change your location, that's called a hefsek. That's an interruption, a strong interruption, which is going to require you to make an after bracha on what you ate. And the third point being that this question of cheder lecheder, room to room, where we have this distinction, depends whether you had your das, which we answered the question of, does stam das work? Would it work if you had, like, generally in mind you had das? And we said, probably it would, just like we see a case of stam das when it comes to what you make your bracha on, in yeshiva as the example. Yeah. Stam das does work. So, I mean, nowadays that we have telephones, we're all called all the time, you know, from one room to the other. We don't have waiters that are gonna, you know, butlers that are going to bring people in to us or bring us the phone on a silver platter. Well, I don't know. It could be that now that we have these in our pockets, I'm not going to bother with the house phone. I'll let them call me on my... But not on Shabbos, anyway.
I never answer.
Okay. Anyways. Okay, so this is the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, we have to go on. Yes, Arkady, you have one more question?
No, there's a million questions, but we'll go on.
We have a million questions, but we'll go on. Now, have a look at the Ramah. Now, okay, the gloss, the next gloss, next page.
Here is another gloss.
Oh, yes. Okay, so now he goes on to, if they were sitting to eat, and then they left people behind.
This gloss?
Yes, this one right here. Okay. This one here. Okay, so this is, okay. Now, says the Ramah. Have you got the Ramah? The Ramah is, next page. Bam, right there. Hagar, says the Ramah, v'yesh cholkim, and there are those that argue, b'chol mashakosav b'simon zeh, with everything which is written in this chapter so far.
This means now that we have seemingly had everything.
We have everything clear, we have everything figured out. That, however, says the Ramah, that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rif and the Rambam. However, there are those that argue with everything that is written in this Siman. Now remember, we pointed out a few points of the Shulchan Aruch. He said a few very significant different points. Ramah says there are people that argue with everything that is written in this Siman. Now, if you follow down like a couple of lines, you'll see in the brackets, small letters, Taisvas, Rashbam, Rosh. Yeah, remember we saw the Rosh. Okay, Mordechai. Yeah, there are those that argue on everything that is written. What do they hold? Rak Sovrim. They hold Sheshinoi Makim. That Shinoi Makim, changing your location, Einoi Ela Kehesachadas. This is not like a hefsik. It's not considered an interruption. It's considered Hesachadas. Yeah, remember we pointed out it's written over here in Kuf Ayin Ches, not in Kuf Ayin Tes, not 179. Because the Shulchan Aruch says it's not Hesek Hadas. We can't put it in together with Hesek Hadas. It's something different, it's Hefsek. Now the Ramah says there are those that say it's just like Hesek Hadas. V'lochein, therefore, im shinem mekoymei, if you change your place, lemakim acher, to another location, ein tzorich levarich, Ella, you only need to make a bracha lifnei masha roitz alecho, before whatever you want to eat. Okay? That's the first point. Mm-hmm. First point is that Shulchan Aruch said that if you change your location, you have to make a bracha lemafreya, retroactively, because this is an interruption. This is now a new meal. Your second benching isn't going to work for the first benching. Says the Ramah, no, not true. It's just like Hesek Hadas. Yeah, so you're not going to be required to make a bracha on what you already ate. Ein tzarich levarich ela lifnei. You only need to make a bracha before what you eat, but not afterwards. Have a loyal masha achol kvar, but not on what you already ate. Good. Point number one. Point one of dispute. Point two of dispute. V'dafka, and specifically sheloi hiniach miktas chaverim besuda. Specifically, that you did not leave people behind. And you did not eat from the things which the after bracha is required to be said in their place. Aval, however, if you left people behind, or even if you didn't leave people behind, but you ate from the things which the bracha is required to be said in their place, afilu masha roitz alechol achar kach ein tzarich levarich. Even whatever you want to eat after that, you don't need to make a bracha, because I'm in the middle of a meal. I'm in a kavias. If I'm eating things which the bracha after bracha is required to be said in the place, okay. So point number two of dispute. Remember, point number one is no, it's hesek hadas. After bracha, you don't need to bake retroactively. Second point of dispute, and it's not with all types of food. Yeah, even the before bracha is not with all types of food. It's only the things which bracha ain't that you are not required to say the bracha after bracha in their place. But the things which you have to say the bracha after bracha in their place, you're in the middle of a meal. You don't need to make a new bracha.
But we started said this.
Sorry.
This is idea we started.
This is Rav Chisda. This is the other opinion. This is the opinion of the Rosh. V'lochein, therefore, Misha posek sudosei v'holach l'bayis achar, someone who interrupted his meal and he went to another house. Or someone, you were in the middle of a meal and someone called you to the door. When you return to the meal, you don't need to make a new bracha. Because bread requires the after bracha to be said in its place, in the place you ate it, according to everyone. Mihu, however, im hisiach daitoi, if you had hesach hadas, yeah, this is a point that the Ramah is adding over here, if you had objective hesach hadas, he's saying that over here, shinui makim, changing your location is not going to be objectively hesach hadas, if you are in the middle of a bread meal. But if you did have objective hesach hadas, which would be, again, something like saying, I'm finished eating, have lanu nevarich, or let's wash my machroinim. Or washing my machroinim. Shiramalis is not. I actually used to think that shiramalis is the end of a meal. I looked it up in halacha and I didn't see it anywhere. I didn't see it anywhere that shiramalis is considered a hesach hadas.
Some say even.
I looked it up. I looked in the achroinim in the contemporary poskim. I didn't see it anywhere. I still feel that it should be shiramalis. Like is really the end of the meal, but. I mean, shiramalis really is not. Shiramalis is
bracha krona 2 minutes.
It's bracha krona 2 minutes. It's an introduction to benching, but it's not at the end of a meal.
It's an introduction to
washing my machroinim. That is. That's the end.
Although some wash before shiramalis.
Yep. Okay. Okay, so that would be a problem. Mio, however, if you did taka have an objective, what we would call hesach hadas, v'adai tzarech levarich. You for sure need to make a new bracha on what you're going to be eating after that, even if you were having bread, right? If you finish your bread meal and you said, okay, let's wash my macaronim, and then you got called out and went to another place, and now you want to, you're like, this looks like a very nice French baguette. I like the look of this. I'll have a bit more bread now. There you definitely need to make a new before bracha, because that was hesach hadas. But not the benching. You don't need to bench on what you ate. That you're okay, because it's only hesek hadas. It's not hefsek. Changing your location is not a hefsek. So it's not an interruption in the meal. It's just hesek hadas from the before bracha. Okay. Ve'ein chilug bein chaza lemakim she'ochel kvar ubein siyem sudosei b'makim acher. This is answering our professor's question, our caddy's question, that both of you have probably asked this question two or three times already. There is no difference about whether you return back to the original place or you went to another place, meaning you carried on eating in Israel Bookshop or you went back to Cafe Lat to eat. It's still either called a change of place, or it's not called a change of place. Doesn't matter. You can carry on with your meal. V'chein noegim b'medinas elu. And this is the minhag, this is the custom in our medinas, in Ashkenaz land, says the Ramah.
Now, a technical question.
Yes.
When they use the Rashi script, is that usually...
The Rashi script in up here is the Ramah.
Okay.
Okay, now... The final, very important point, says the Ramah, Mikol Mokim. Nevertheless, this is very important, fundamental. Okay, 1 second. So let's just get this clear. So again, the Ramah argues on two points. First point is, it's not called Hefsek. It's not called an interruption. It's only called Hesech Adas. What does Hesech Adas do? It's going to affect the before bracha, what you carry on to eating. But it's not going to affect the bracha achrona. I don't need to bench before I carry on eating. When I start my second meal, it's not called a second meal. It's not called a second meal. It's the first meal. Mm-hmm. Could be I need to carry on making a bracha before I continue my first meal because of a hesek hadas. I finished that bracha, came to an end. But it's not going to affect the after bracha. That's point number one. Point number two is even this before bracha, it's not always going to be a hesach hadas. There are things which you can objectively cause a hesach hadas, like washing ma'ay machroinim, or saying, okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's bench. But otherwise, it's not going to be necessarily be a hesach hadas. unless you are eating things with, right? Why? Because you have a kvias. You're in the middle of a fixed meal. You just come and step back to the fixed meal. Unless you're eating things which there isn't a fixed meal. Things which you don't have to make the after bracha in that place. Like drinking a glass of water. Drinking a glass of water, that's always going to be a hesek hadas. But again, even if you have the hesek hadas, they're two separate points. Even if you have the hesek hadas, you drink a glass of water here, and then you go to another place. Before you make the before you carry on drinking in the other place, you have to make a new before bracha, because you had a shinei makom. But again, you don't need to make a new after bracha first. The after bracha is still going to count on the second drinking. It's going to count for the first. Because it's called one drinking. It's one, yeah, it's not hefsek. There's only a hesech. Okay, is this clear? Professor?
Yes, sure.
Good. Mikom makom, nevertheless, says the Rama. Lechat chila. Does everyone know what lechat chila means? The right thing to do from the from the outset is loy ya'akor bimkoymoy beloy bracha. You should never uproot yourself from your place that you are eating without first making a bracha. Why? Dechayshinan shema yishkach milach zovelechod. Because we are concerned that you are not going to remember to come back and continue eating and then make the after bracha. And make the after bracha. So what's going to come out is you're just going to forget and you're going to not make an after bracha. Okay? Says the Rama, you always have to make sure before you leave anywhere. We don't rely on this. This is all b'di'evet. This is all the halachas after, post facto, after the fact. Ooh, gosh, I forgot. I changed my location. Do I need to make a new bracha before bracha? Do I need to make an after bracha? What's my halachas? That's only b'di'evet. Lechat chila, though, Even if you're planning on going to someone else, or you go whatever you're doing, walking outside, first lechatchila, you should always make an after bracha. Yeah, after bracha, finish this meal and then continue. And even if you're planning on continuing straight away, we're always concerned that you might forget to make an after bracha, and so it's best to make an after bracha before you leave. So that would mean that if you're drinking a glass of water in the shul and you're running to your bus. Yeah, and then you're going to carry on. I've got my, I'm carrying on, planning on carrying on eating. I'm planning on carrying on drinking. It's better, says the Rama, the Chatchila, you should make the after bracha here first, and then go on your merry way and carry on, and then make a new before bracha, right? But we're concerned that you're not going to remember to make the after bracha at all. So it's better to make the after bracha, even though it could count, and I don't necessarily need to. You know, it's not considered a bracha she'ena tzricha, an unrequired bracha. It is a required bracha because it's more important to make sure you bench than to have the risk. However, says the Rama, mihu l'tzorich mitzvah iveres, for the purpose of, or in a case of a passing mitzvah, yeah, a missed opportunity of a mitzvah, kegoin she'giyazman tefillah, for example, it's now mincha time. Yeah, I've got a daven mincha. Right, you're in the middle of your meal. It doesn't happen over here because we come here for mincha and then you're, yeah. But whatever. Imagine a case. You're in the middle of your meal and oyve, it's mincha. Yeah, I've got to quickly pop out to go daven mincha. Yeah, we're not going to say over there. Rather bench and then go. There, we're going to say you're okay. There, bench. Go to mincha, and then you can carry on. In a case of a passing mitzvah, we'll say that you can rely on the fact that b'di'eved, yeah, you're allowed to carry on eating, and your benching is going to carry forward, and you're okay. You don't need to make a bracha before you leave. Then mutter. Then it would be allowed. Okay.
I actually had a situation.
Let's go into the situation later. So now we're going to come back to our question. Okay, so we have this clear. We have the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, we have the opinion of the Rama, and the opinion of the Rama is by the way, I didn't see him bring this.
But Shulchan Aruch is not opinion.
We have the psak. Well, you're right, Akadi, you're right. You have the psak, the halacha according to Shulchan Aruch, but we have the halacha according to the Rama, which is the halacha for us, which is that it's going to depend what you're eating. Yeah, everything is dependent on what you're eating. If you, as long as you're in a bit of a bread meal, you can go outside and you can come back and carry on. Yeah, you can go, you can move to a different location and carry on eating, and you don't need to make a new bracha. Okay, now the question is, back we introduced this subject by asking a question of someone who had a mother-in-law. Yeah, someone. If you remember this question, yeah, who on Erev Pesach, we're now after Pesach already, but we started this before Pesach, but on Erev Pesach, on a year that it makes a difference, this year wasn't really so relevant, because it was a whole week from Shabbos till, from Shabbos HaGadol, was a whole week until Seder night. But, yeah, if Shabbos, yeah, is Erev Pesach, yeah, and the next day is going to be Pesach, yeah, obviously you're not going to want to be eating chametz around the, you know, in your house. Or even if it's a few days before, you're not necessarily going to be wanting to eat chametz in the house. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? So first, obviously, you should buy crumb-free challahs, you know, which apparently they sell in England. They're not really that crumb-free, but they charge you for crumb-free. Yeah. Actually, this year I use bagels. Bagels are very crumb-free. They're like stodgy. So. But the question was, can we eat outside in the sukkah? Okay, make kiddush outside in the sukkah. Have your hametz, have your bread, have your challah, yeah. And then carry on the meal.
It starts
inside.
Raining.
Carry on the meal inside. The sukkah is a shed. It's a shed with a lid, with a roof, but it opens up for sukkahs. So can you eat out in the shed, in the garden, or anywhere else, you know, for that matter, outside of the house, eat out in the garden. Yeah, but in England, the weather's not that great before Pesach, so, I mean, it's not that great after Pesach either.
And exactly when is the weather great in England?
That's a great question. There's usually 2 weeks.
We had a case, we started eating in the sukkah, and it started raining, so we adjourned to the house.
Great. Okay, so this is a question also. It's sukkah's time. Is it the same question? Yeah, I'm just asking at Pesach. That was the question that came up. Yeah. And this is when I started learning this sukkah because of this question. The question is, are you allowed to continue your meal inside? Okay, question number one. Question number two, what about benching? Okay, so question number one is fairly straightforward. Are you allowed to continue your meal inside? I'm in the middle of a bread meal. Yeah, in the middle of a bread meal. Am I allowed to continue my meal in a different location? For sure. No question. It's bread. According to the Ramah, who passes like Rav Chisda, I'm eating Devarim Hatu'unim Bracha L'Acharim Mekoyman. I'm eating something which requires the after bracha to be said in the place. As soon as I carry on eating, I'm just returning back l'kivo kama kahadar. I'm just returning back to the original kavias. And remember, Professor Anarkadi, the Shulchan Aruch, pointed out that this is even true even if I'm eating a different location. Yeah, because I'm still returning back to that original kavias. Mm-hmm. This location, I'm returning back. There also, it's just a continuation of this original meal. So for sure, there's not a question. The before bracha, the bracha rishona, that definitely you're allowed to continue eating. You don't need to make a new bracha when you go inside. You're continuing this kavias. You're continuing the original meal. That's absolutely fine. Question is, what about the after bracha? What about the after bracha? Now, obviously, the question of, do I need to make an after bracha first? That's not the question. Because according to the Ramah, I don't need to make an after bracha. Right? It's not called a hefsik. It's not even called a hesek hadas, because I'm in the middle of a bread meal. Okay? The question is, what about the after bracha benching at the end of the meal? Okay? That's the question. What about the benching at the end of the meal? Okay.
Where to bench?
Do we say? And this was really my question that I got into through this. Do we say that, seeing as you're continuing your meal, it's just a continuation of this meal, right? So wherever I continue the meal, I can say the after bracha wherever I am, right? Remember, we said, why are you allowed to continue the meal without making a new bracha? Because l'kiva kama, I'm just returning back to this original kavias. I'm returning back to the meal. Good. That's where I conclude the meal. That's where I bench. That's my meal. My meal just moved location. Yeah, don't even need to make a new before bracha. I'm in the middle of this meal. Or do we say that seeing as you're not having bread in the second location, the where we say that that the dvarim hatunim bracha la'achareimim koimam. This is something which requires the after bracha to be set in its place. What is that? It's the bread. The bread requires the after bracha to be set. So therefore, it's on the bread. The thing which defining fact is, where did you eat the bread? Right? So, yes, it's all very well. I can continue my meal, but that's not where I ate my bread. Right? I don't need a new before bracha, but still, this is one of the things which the after bracha has to be required to set in the place. Or, again, do we say, no, it doesn't matter. I'm continuing my meal. Right? Continuation of the meal, that's where I can just bench in there. So, my mother-in-law called the Beis Hora. I mean, this person's mother-in-law called the Beis Hora, called the rabbi's office. They have a Beis Hora in England, which is open before Pesach. I actually saw an infographic or a spreadsheet of the Star K, the number of phone calls they had up to Pesach. Mm-hmm. And it was outrageous, astounding the number of phone calls they had to the Star K line before Pesach was astounding. Yeah, the Beis Hora is similar. And they're open for questions, for dealing with shilas the whole time. And they've got rabbonim that are sitting there answering phone calls, like picking up the phone all day, just answering quick questions. Yeah. So my mother-in-law called up the Beis Hora in Stamford Hill. And they said they gave her one answer, and then I was like, "Really? Is that really true? One second, did you tell them blah 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 this and this and this?" She's like, "No." She called them up again, and they gave her a different answer. Yeah, I'm like, "Look, Beis Hora is not gonna there. You have to think about it. You have to really work this through. Maybe he only right when he said it was okay, he was saying, yeah, you can carry on your meal there without making a new before bracha. But the after bracha, he wasn't necessarily telling you about benching. Oh yeah. So I took the matters into my own hands, and I started looking around, and I came across a Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim is one of the Noise Kalim, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. Fairly contemporary. We're talking a number of hundred years ago, but in the history of the Jewish people, it's fairly contemporary. So he brings the Prima Gadim in Mishpatzeis Zahav. Oh, so he brings a case, a very relevant and practical case, which was practical in their times. Okay, in the old days, they when in the town, in the shtetl, when a couple would get married, the minhag, the custom was they would get married on Erev Shabbos. Yeah, this is a very common thing. They would get married on Erev Shabbos. They would have the chuppah on Erev Shabbos just before Shabbos. That's why if you look through the halacha svarim, you'll see all these questions about when you can light your candles, right? And they bring up questions: do you light your candles before the chuppah, or do you light your candles after the chuppah? There's a risk if you light it after the chuppah, there might be a little bit too late, or right? Because they were having the chuppah was literally just before Shabbos. Yeah, why would they do this? Because after the chuppah, you have to have a sheva brachas. Yeah, you have a suddah, you have a suddah's mitzvah, you have a meal. Shabbat brach is very expensive. Have a suddah's mitzvah is very expensive. So if you're having Shabbos meal anyway, yeah, so combining the two together. So what they used to do was they had the chuppah before. Also, you've got to pay for the band. This is cheaper. You don't have a band. Yeah. So they would the poorer families, they would have the chuppah immediately before Shabbos, and then the Shabbos meal would be the Suddas mitzvah, and they would all gather together and have their Shabbos meal together.
So
now,
for practical reasons.
Nowadays, they're also trying to introduce this for practical reasons. In Eretz Yisrael, they actually had a incentive program to encourage people to get married on Erev Shabbos. Mm. And they would have the chasna in the morning, or like, you know, like midday on Erev Shabbos, and have the dancing, like a regular, not they wouldn't do it in the same way, they wouldn't do it just before Shabbos, but they'd have the whole thing on Erev Shabbos. They'd have the dancing. It's like, it's strange, you know, to have like a whole thing. I actually went once, like to just to like check it out. I was by a chasna hall, and it was Erev Shabbos. It was Erev Shabbos, and it was in the morning. It was like 11 o'clock, yeah. And they just finished the chuppah, and then they're like dancing, like a regular dancing, but like middle of the day, like in the morning. The reason why they do that is they don't want to disrupt the learning. Yeah, yeshiva. You have your yeshiva day, and then disrupt it, and you know, whole afternoon and evening and night is taken up with going to a wedding. So they do an Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is anyway a lighter day. You know, they have their morning seder. You know, you learn in the morning. Till, you know, 12 or whatever, and then after that you have your chasna. But how they used to do it in the old days was they would have a chuppah before Shabbos, and then immediately after that they would go into the Sheva Brachas, the Siddur. So there were a group of people also who were even poorer, yeah. And how they would do it would be they would have their chuppah, yeah, right immediately before Shabbos. And then after that, everyone would go back home and have their Shabbos Suddah. After that, they'd all come back to together in the town, you know, town square, in the chotzer or in the shul, you know, shul or whatever. And they'd continue in and they'd have dessert or something with the dessert and dancing. Yeah, but everyone would have their own Suddah. They'd have their Suddah at home and then they'd join the family afterwards for dessert.
Makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, what's the question? Exactly the same.
Yeah,
this is exactly the same tzir, exactly the same setup. Now, this question, kamoi kain, kamoi benisuin. Yeah, our cases, our situation of how people get married, rishai leilech l'sham, says the Prima Godim, you're allowed to go there. V'sham, and you're allowed to go there, and you're allowed to carry on eating, you're allowed to carry on your meeting. V'sham yivarech birkas hamazon. And over there, you'll bench. That's where you'll bench, right? On your second eating, it's going to count for your first eating because of the Paskin like the Ramah. Yeah, it's not a hefsek. V'sham yivarech birkas hamazon al achila shnia. On your second eating, which is going to count for your first as well. Ve'ein tzarech hamaitzi. And you don't need to make a new hamaitzi. Pshita ledidan. This is obvious, yeah, that we paskin like this. This is the Ramah. Elo derushai leilech lechatchila l'sham. Yeah, but the chiddush is that lechatchila you're allowed to do this. Yeah, from the get-go you're allowed to do this. Right? And again, we said the Ramah says lechatchila. Actually, you should bench before you leave. But he says lechatchila you can go there. You're allowed to do this. Yeah. Question is why? Why is it? Yeah, it could be the reason why he's saying is because they're going to be benching Berov Am. You're going to be a group of people. You're going to have a zimun. You're going to have a zimun of 10. You're going to have a sheva brachas. This is a great mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah to do it together with the sheva brachas. So lechatchila, you're allowed to.
It's keeping in mind that you know, for the poor family, the expense of feeding them for the whole meal might be a consideration. So you know.
Yeah. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do it on condition. You're going to be birkas hamazon. That's absolutely fine. Umihu, says the Prima Godim. However, yeroyali, it appears to me, seems to me, dafka kisha oichel bebayis acher kazayis mipas. That this is specifically dafka, only when you're going to be eating in that second place a kazayis of bread. Yeah. Dafka. Da oz gam mokim asheni haya mekoymei. Because then the second place is going to be your place, the place of the meal. Umavarich sham. And then the blessing is going to be the afterbrach is going to be over there. Avlim achal pachus mekazayis. However, if you ate less than a kazayis, a kol shekein she'achol peiros, and all the more so if you only ate fruits, oy shaloi achol klal b'makim anesuin, or you didn't eat at all in the in the place of the chasana, loy mahani daitoi, then it's not going to help your das, isn't going to help. Va'afilu ovar, tzarech lachzor lemekaymai, and even if you transgressed and you already moved to the place, you need to return back to your original place, sha'ochal, the place where you ate, v'yivarech birkas amazin sham, and say birkas amazin over there. Okay, so this, l'chayra, seems to be the answer to the question that although the Prima Gadim doesn't say you're not allowed to carry on eating, there you're allowed to carry on eating, that's not a problem. But in terms of the after bracha, the birkas amazin aspect of it, there he's going to say that's only going to help you if you actually eat a kazayas of bread over there. But if you're not eating a kazayas of bread, your meal continues, but your after bracha, you can't say over there. After bracha still needs to be in the original place. Yeah, so this would l'chayra be the answer to the question that if you're having this set up on Erev Pesach where you're eating outside and you're finishing off your meal in the inside, yeah, then after your meal, after dessert, you've got to go back out to the shed. Yeah, and then in the shed you'll go and continue your meal. The question though would be
bread with you, bring it in.
No, so that's the whole thing. The whole thing is to avoid bringing bread into the house.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. Yeah, otherwise you could. Yeah. Yeah, but the whole thing is to avoid bringing bread into the house. But then the question is going to be, are you allowed to do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Seeing as we don't say you continue your meal inside, you've got to go back. Is this just the situation of the Ramah, where the Ramah says lechatchila you should bench before you leave? Because we're concerned you are not going to come back and not going to carry on eating and you're going to forget to bench. So here you're going, you're carrying on eating. But there's still the question of maybe you're going to forget to bench. So, okay, so let's say it like this. So maybe it's a mitzvah, yeah, because I'm going inside and then it's going to be more comfortable inside. Okay, could be, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I still don't have 100% clear. Yeah, I suggested that it might just be best to just stay in the shed and have the whole, you know, the whole meal in the shed, because you know what's going to happen. You're going to go in there, come back. You know, there's a risk, there's a chashash, there's a concern that maybe you'll forget to bend. And this is actually what happened in the end. We had the whole meal in the shed, and you know, we benched in the shed.
It means there is a situation, there is nobody have specific answer.
I'm sure it was.
Sorry?
There is a situation, still.
No, there is a specific answer. It needs more, I need to delve into it more.
But you call different people.
Yeah, but I didn't
opinion?
Sure. Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim. They're all the words of the living God. They're all the words of the living God. It's all halacha.
You played it very safe, though.
I played it safe, just because even after I came out and I saw, you know, the Prima Gadim says, l'chayra, it's fine, just you've got a bench in the original play. But then, you know, maybe that's the question of the Ramah, where the Ramah says, l'chatchila, you shouldn't do that. He says, for a mitzvah iveris, you're allowed to. You know, chasen and kala, you know, passing mitzvah.
Yeah.
You know, there you're allowed to move to location, right? So he says, if you're carrying on eating, then it's then you know, okay. So we're definitely carrying on eating. We're carrying on our meal, like it's, you know. So it's not really that question. Mm-hmm. They say you are allowed to do in that case, but but maybe the fact that you have to, the concern of maybe you're not going to bench, yeah, that's still going to be there because.
Yeah. Okay.
On sukkahs, the rabbi has his sukkah hop. I don't think I've taken advantage of that. What do they do?
Go to
eat. They eat and make an afterbracha in every sukkah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Sure. But this is
every sukkah you go
usually
in.
It's,
but Ramo, what is this Ramo? His authority to follow, so, or this is his?
Sure. Yeah, no. The Ramo is
Maharaj. No, but this is he against all others.
No. This is no.
But this is he started.
No,
some people disagree with
By the way, I don't think that's
usually the Ramah is authoritative. The Mishnah Berurah will tell you when it's when it's not. But usually the Ramah is authoritative.
No, but this will be not a sort of there is kind of galacha. Is there some people who says